The purpose of us coming together is, number one, we're going to study God's word together. And you're going to get to know Titus in a way that you've never known Titus before. But it's going to take your effort to do that. You're not going to get it all from me. But we're going to share together. We're going to study Titus together. We're going to come back together and share what God is teaching us through Titus. So we're going to study it together. We're going to be women of the word, dedicated to the word, focused on the word, not concerned about what the world says, not concerned about what supplements say or commentaries say. Obviously, you can go to that, but focused on what the word is saying. So number one is we're studying it. Number two, we're going to challenge one another to stay in the word. I just read a quick challenge here. So often we try to minimize the importance of God's word in our lives. Just stay consistent. Just spend 5 minutes a day in the word. Just concentrate on one word in the Bible. Let that be your meditation for the day. I'm going to challenge you to let's take God's word as a whole. And I'll give you the challenge at the end of this, at the end of our study. But I'm not going to challenge you to take a small verse. I'm not going to challenge you to take a word. The challenge is going to be bigger than that. So we're going to study, we're going to challenge, and we're going to be here to encourage one another. Hebrews 10:25 says, encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Or as the message put it, so let's do it. Full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out, let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. So we're going to study, we're going to challenge, and we're going to encourage. So welcome to our study on Titus. I'm going to be your lead learner here. Not a teacher, not the guide, but we're going to learn together. And with, by God's grace, try to give some direction as to how we can be encouraging and learning together. But I want us to really focus in on what it means to be a godly woman, to be Christ's woman, exalting Christ in a world that has just gone amok. I remember thinking back, listening to my parents when I was a little girl and thinking, life is going to be so hard when you, I don't know what you're going to be facing. It's just going to be really difficult. I remember Sunday school teachers saying, this is, back when I was in junior high and high school, Christ has got to be returning any day. Things can't get much worse than they are right now. You know, I look back to those days, that's child's play compared to what we're facing today. Then move up forward compared to what our kids are going to be facing. Just from what I raised my kids in, and I'm trying to talk to them about how to raise their kids now, it is a world of difference between what my children faced as children versus what their children are now facing as children. Ladies, we have got to be strengthened in God's word. We have got to teach that to our children. I don't care. Nothing else matters except what God's word is saying. We have got to stay grounded in it. That is what Paul is telling Titus. This is the way that you have to be functioning. You have to become together as a body. You have to band together. You have to be an army facing the challenges that are out there. It's not easy, and it's going to be too easy to falter and get away, move out of it. So before we actually get into the book, I want to give us a little bit of background on Titus. And I believe in giving credit to whomever is smarter than I am. So this section here, I have taken from MacArthur's commentary on Titus. I will not use him exclusively, but I'll let you know the different, when I use a different commentary or a different insight, I'll be sure to let you know where the information came from. But I thought MacArthur very clearly gave a quick outline on the Titus and what it covers. So first of all, who is Titus? I'm gonna back up. I just changed my mind. Who is the author of Titus? Let's go to that step first. And we all know who wrote the book, right? and that is the Apostle Paul. Where does it fit into Scripture? This is one of the three pastoral letters. Paul wrote 1 Timothy, and of course that was to young Timothy as a pastor. Then he wrote Titus. Then he wrote 2 Timothy. So Titus is fit right in between the two letters to Timothy. It's his next to his last letter. And Paul is aware, he's not yet imprisoned, but he's aware that he's walking on fragile territory. His life can go at any moment. So as you read Titus, read it with the urgency that Paul is trying to communicate to Titus. 2 Timothy is officially his last words. This isn't too far behind that, too far ahead of that. So read it. Paul is really trying to encourage Titus, and he's been with Titus a lot. He's trying to pour his life into Titus in three short chapters. Every word counts in this book. This is not something that Paul has written lightly. Titus, who is he? He's an early church leader. He was a very trusted companion of Paul, and he was a very faithful servant of the Lord. He was a Gentile, one of the first Gentile converts. Led to faith by Paul, we don't know when, but it's from reading Scripture. Paul considered him his spiritual son. He was drawn into the ministry. He was a co-worker with Paul, and he was an uncircumcised follower of Christ. And this becomes a big deal later on because he refused to become circumcised. Paul refused to affirm that he needed to become circumcised because we're all equal before God. You don't have to be a Jew. You don't have to be a Gentile. You don't have to be circumcised. You don't have to be uncircumcised. That all took place at the Council of Jerusalem that we read in Acts 15. And this was a big deal. That this was Titus's mark of the level of commitment, the level of inclusiveness into God's family. Neither Jew nor Gentile, but we're all one in Christ. Titus had been with Paul in Corinth. In fact, he was the one that delivered the second letter to the Corinthians. And if you remember, if you want to go back and read Corinthians, Corinthians was a messed up church. And Paul was delivering a lot of rebukes to Corinth, to the church at Corinth. And it ends up that Titus is bringing this second letter to them. He was, as I mentioned, he was with Paul and he was with Barnabas at the Council of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. And he was the Gentile convert. After Paul's first imprisonment, he was let out. He takes Titus with him to Crete. Now, back in Acts, during the days of Pentecost, it's very possible and probable that some of the people from Crete had come into Jerusalem, and that's where they heard the gospel in the first place. That's where they became converted, was during the days of Pentecost. And then they went back to Crete, and they are establishing churches in Crete. It's not just one church that Paul is leaving Titus at there in Crete, but it's multiple churches. Since Titus had already gone through some of the issues with Paul in Corinth, he's not unaccustomed to issues that can develop in the church. He's kind of street savvy, shall we say. And he knows firsthand the issues of believers who are immature, who are self-centered, who are worldly, who are divisive. And this is what he's going to be encountering in Crete. But he was committed to developing that church there, the church body, the multiples of churches there. So the purpose of the letter, as we've already said, it's the same as the letters to Timothy. It's to encourage and to strengthen a new pastor. It's to instruct Titus on how to instruct others under his leadership and ministry. It's to confirm Titus's authority. Paul affirms that I am leaving Titus here. He has the full authority to lead and to teach. And it's to instruct us in how to live in such a way so that we lead others to salvation. Now, as we go through, keep your focus, keep your mindset. Every word in Titus is important. God's word is important for everything in life. So especially as we get into leadership qualifications and things that you want to say, okay, this doesn't pertain to me as a woman, I want you to look at it through the eyes of a woman, and how does this apply to you? What is the message that God is trying to teach? Neither Jew nor Gentile, neither male nor female. We're all equal before God. So don't disqualify, discredit any of the words that we're reading here. The churches on Crete had been exposed to Greek and Roman civilization. I already said that some of the Jews were converted at Pentecost and went back to Crete. These are new churches. They're young in the faith. There's many churches. And because there's so many churches, Titus is going to need some help. He can't be everywhere at once. And in addition, because they're new, there's a lot of false teaching also going on this island. And that is what is prevalent, all the false teachers. So all of these young believers are very vulnerable to what they can hear from the false teachers, from the Judaizers, from those that are preaching another gospel. So Paul is trying to help Titus zero in on that, and not to give an apologetic, but to focus on the word. So in conclusion here on what's going on in Titus, Paul wants Titus to lead the Christians on Crete to be a church that keeps the gospel central for life, for growth, and for mission. And that's what he wants for us too. Throughout Titus, we're going to receive instruction on how to exalt Christ by living a godly life so that others will see and believe in Jesus. Live a life that others are going to want to imitate. Paul says, imitate me. Man, that's convicting to me. How much can I say to you, imitate me? I can say, oh, there's some things I think you can imitate. My life as a whole, there's a lot I'd say, avoid that. But the goal is, as we imitate Christ, we can draw others along to imitate me. So what we're going to do right now, open up your Bibles to Titus. You've been given an overview. And we right now are going to go through the book of Titus. Start with Alice. We'll just go down the row this way, back to Grace, back this way, and then back to Kim and Susan in the back. Go ahead and just read about 5 or 6 verses, then just pick up to the next, and we're just going to go straight through. This is Paul's letter. Letters don't have chapters. Letters don't have verses. This is just his letter to Titus.
Paul, an apostle of God, Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth, which is according to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ago, but at the proper time manifested even his word in the proclamation, which I was entrusted according to the commandment of God, our Savior, to Titus, my true child, in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior.
This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained into order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, for an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it.
For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons." This testimony is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, for they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people to turn away from the truth.
To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both their mind and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but by their deeds they deny him, being detestable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed.
But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and to train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourselves in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Bondservants are to be submissive to their own masters in everything. They are to be well-pleasing, not argumentative, not pilfering, but showing all good faith, so that in everything they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior.
For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. Declare these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one disregard you.
Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle toward everyone. At one time, we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior.
So that, having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and arguments and quarrels about the law, because these are unprofitable and useless. Warn a divisive person once, and then warn him a second time. After that, have nothing to do with him. You may be sure that such a man is warped and sinful. He is self-condemned.
As soon as I send Armidus and Tyrus to you, do your best to come to me at Nicopolis, because I have decided to winter there. Do everything you can do to help Xenius the lawyer and Apollos on their way, and see that they have everything they need. Our people must learn to devote themselves to doing what is good, in order that they may provide for daily necessities and not live unproductive lives. Everyone with me sends you greetings. Greet those who love us in this faith. Grace be with you all.
And grace be with you all. You have just completed today's homework assignment. My challenge to you is this. During this 10-week study that we have, every day, read Titus. First part of the challenge is make it your goal to get a 2-week span where you do not miss a day. Do something consecutive for 2 weeks and it pretty much becomes a habit. So that's going to be your first goal. When we come back together next week, the first part of our study is going to be having you share what God has taught you through your study. And I'll be directing you as to which verses specifically to focus on. Read the whole book of Titus for this next week, every day. Focus on verses 1 through 4. That will be our topic of conversation, our topic of meditation. You can go through pages 7 and 8, if you would like, in the leadership guide here that you have. But that's it. You have accomplished number one. Didn't take that long. Took about 7 minutes to do a straight reading. But let's devote ourselves to the word. Kim, are we going to split up into